I just want to share very quickly with you this morning from God's Word. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to John chapter 1. Just very briefly this morning, John's Gospel, chapter 1. I don't know about you, I have heard it said this phrase before. I don't know if it's something that you're familiar with, that Matthew, Mark, and Luke wrote about Jesus from the ground up. And John wrote about Jesus from heaven down. I don't know if you've ever heard that before, but it's meaningful to me, and I like it. I know it's been a while since you've had a stretch break. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. This morning, our portion will just be the opening verses of John chapter 1 and then skipping down to verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And skipping down to verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This ends the reading of God's Word. You may be seated. Just quickly this morning, this is more of a devotional thought than a sermon. But have you ever wondered why the Bible talks about Jesus in this passage as being the Word? There's lots of different theories out there. Jesus is referred to in this passage, not only in this passage, but John also wrote another book of the Bible. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, the Revelation. In Revelation 19:13, John wrote this, he is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. Why is Jesus called the Word of God? Well, there's lots of different theories out there, but this is the one I'd like to share with you this morning. I think it's the best one, the most fitting one, that Jesus is the personification of the very Word of God. Before Jesus came to the earth, a person could make an argument. I'm not saying it would be a valid argument, but a person could make an argument that God simply dropped a book into the laps of his people, the Israelites, and asked them to obey. Now, admittedly, that's a bad argument. There were miracles, there were prophecies, there were all kinds of things that God did to demonstrate who he was and how much he loved the people of Israel. But somebody could make that argument, that God just dropped the law into their lap and said, obey. By the way, just as a side note, somebody asked me this morning, said, Pastor, are you really going to keep this to 10 minutes? And I said, yeah, why do you ask? Well, are you going to tell any stories? I said, yeah, why do you ask? Well, okay, we'll plan for more than 10 minutes. My dad was a consummate do-it-yourselfer. He built the house that I grew up in based off of the plans that he drew on a piece of loose-leaf school paper. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. And I don't know how many times I saw my dad, who was not a reader, looking at this book, the Reader's Digest Complete Do-It-Yourself Manual. This was by far the most beat-up book we had in our house. Dad looked at it all the time. How to do carpentry, basic wiring, all the stuff is in this book. And you know, it's interesting, when you read a book, when you read instructions on how to do something, you kind of can get something out of it. You know, you kind of get the general gist of what's going on. But in my generation, I don't know about you, but in my generation, if I want to know how to do something, I go to YouTube, right? Literally, the other day, my son's car needed a brake job. I go to YouTube, I type in the model and the make of the car and rear brakes, and boom, 5 minutes, and I know how to do it. But whether it's home repair or whatever, my dad had a book to read. I've got YouTube, but it would be a completely different story if Bob Vila showed up Hey, I hear you've got a bathroom to remodel, Scott. Let me show you how to do that. Why don't you work side by side with me and we'll get this done? Well, it could be argued, and I think it would be a valid argument, to say that Jesus came as the living Word of God. You see, Old Testament Israel had many problems associated with their understanding of God's Word. Israel had failed to understand God's deep and abiding love for them, for His people. And so their understanding of God and His Word over time degenerated and became distorted. And instead of seeing a God who loved them so much and was giving them His Word, out of that act of love to show them the way that they should walk, the way that they should live in order to be not only glorifying to Him, but also to just what was good for themselves. Instead of seeing life that way, their understanding of God and His Word, for many, degenerated into an understanding of God as an angry tyrant who only used punishment to get them to obey. And so obedience was just a way to avoid God's wrath. And so the religious leaders of Jesus' day had degenerated their obedience to God into understanding and following the letter of the law while ignoring the spirit of the law and the loving and generous Heavenly Father who had given it to them. So, how does a father, many of you in this room are fathers, how does a father who is genuinely concerned about his children show them the error of boiling down his word to a bunch of rules to earn his favor or to avoid his wrath? What did God do? He demonstrated. He sent his son, Jesus, into this world to show us in real life, in living, breathing flesh, what it looks like to follow him. What it looks like to love God with everything that you've got and to love others as yourself. Jesus came as the living Word of God. And he got up on a mountain and he gave a sermon in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I would commend that to your reading this week. And in three short chapters, Jesus reset our thinking on a whole list of things that sinful human beings had misunderstood and twisted. He reset our thinking on character, on our influence, on our manner of life in a broken world, on our religion, on our prayer, on our ambitions. You know, build up, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, not treasures on earth. Our relationships. And he summed it all up by making an analogy to kind of bring everything to a head. And he said, the choice is very clear. You can build your life on the foundation of what I'm telling you and be a wise man, or you can choose not to build your house on the foundation of what I'm telling you and be a fool. And our God loves us so much that he didn't just drop a book on us and say, obey. Hope there's Bob Vila again. He didn't just drop a book on us and say obey. When we misunderstood what he had told us, he sent the living word, God in the flesh, to live it out in front of us so that we could see. At Christmas, we celebrate the very presence of God as the choir sang this morning. And he asks us to make a very clear choice. We can turn away from our sinful way of doing things and trust Jesus Christ, or we can continue to live our lives our way to our own destruction. It's a good time of year, if you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, to be reminded that it's time for you to ask yourself the question again, what will you choose? And if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, as a person who is being shaped and formed in the image of Jesus Christ himself, is what the Bible tells us. Now we have to ask ourselves the questions, if you're a believer, we have to ask ourselves the questions, How can we go into this broken world at this time of year, every day, but especially this time of year, and be Jesus, be the very living word of God to others in our lives? What words do we need to say? What acts of kindness do we need to carry out as we navigate this broken and lost world? Yep, today we celebrate this season. We celebrate the very presence of God. He came to this word, to this world, as the very word of God. Let's take a minute and pray and thank him for that. And then let's go be the presence to others. Father, I want to thank you for the gift of music. I want to thank you that you and your wisdom have allowed us to enjoy these melodies, harmonies that are filled with words that are deep and meaningful and truthful. Father, we don't get to just hear the word of God spoken. Sometimes we get to hear it to music, and we're so thankful for that. Thank you for the hard work that these folks have put in to bring these songs to our ears this morning. Father, I pray that as we consider this Christmas season and all the hustle and bustle and the to-do list of things that we need to get done, that a couple of things would not escape our mind. Number one, that you loved us so much that you sent your Son to come to this earth and to show us what it means to walk in your love. Help us to reflect on that. And Father, secondly, to recognize that there's a world full of people, many of whom that don't know you. And we can, in small ways, show them who you are by how we live. So help us to be mindful of that as we go, as we do our shopping, as we gather as families and friends, as we go to work, as we drive our car. Father, I pray that we would be the hands and feet of your Son, Jesus Christ, as we go. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.